All right. All right. How is everyone this morning? Oh, that's good. I'm okay. I'm doing all right, yeah. Made it here, you know. We had a big, my daughter-in-law graduated with her teaching credentials, so we had a Filipino celebration at their house. Now, if you, I don't know if you, any of you have had the fortune of knowing Filipino people, but they...
I have a Filipino sister-in-law.
Yeah. They like to celebrate when something good happens, and they have no problem feeding you a lot of food. So that's all good, too. So.
A big roasted pig?
Say what?
A big roasted pig.
No pig. We had lumpia and ponzit and a bunch of stuff I don't know the name of. But it was all pretty good. Anyway, should we pray? I guess that'd be good. We could pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning. We ask you to bless our hearts, to receive your word. And help us to be open and teachable and broken. Amen. Okay, we're going to read a few scriptures just to kind of set the stage. And basically what we're going to talk about is that, how can I put this? You know, it's like a walk with God is like, kind of like going to the dentist. Okay. In this sense, is you know something's wrong, and you know you need some work, right? But you're afraid to tell your mom that you know might have a little pain in your tooth or something, because the last time you went to the dentist, he was so thorough. He gave you a lot more than what you bargained for. You ever had that experience? Nobody knows what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, yeah. So that's on the bad side. But in God's, when I'm relating to God, he usually pulls us in and gets our attention through something that we want fixed. We want to get fixed, right? Or, you know, we want something. And so he gives us that. And we're really grateful. And kind of, you know, human nature being what it is, you know, it's like, thanks, I'm good now. And off you go. But God's so wonderful, he has more plan for your life than just that one fix. And so we're going to read about that today, that God has more for us than just, you know, helping us to overcome a certain problem, or, you know, we have a relationship that's gone south. He's got so much more for us than we thought when we signed, you know, we signed the papers and entered into this thing. So... turn with me to Ephesians 2:8, and sunglasses aren't going to help. Okay. All right. Ephesians 2:8. I've got the Phillips translation, so I hope no one is offended by the... It's a little different. All right. It says here, Ephesians 2:8. Am I in the right book here? Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith. This does not depend on anything you have achieved. It is the free gift of God. Yes. Now, the question is, why would you start that way and then think that there was something you were going to have to do along the way to complete what he started? That's a good question, huh? And the answer is that this is the whole process right here. You were fulfilled the moment this happened. The moment he gave you faith, he gave you the grace to believe, and you're in. It's like the beginning of the ride. Okay? Now, Paul had some insight as to where we were headed. Let's turn to Philippians 1:6. And Paul talks about, he says in 1:6, he says, everybody got there? I am confident of this, that the one who has begun his work in you will go on developing it until the day of Christ. Yes. Doesn't say you're doing a whole lot there. Does it?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. I'm confident of this. He's confident. Hear that? Yeah. That the one who has begun his good work in you, who would that be?
God.
Will go on developing it until the day of Christ. Okay. Here's another scripture for you. Philippians 3. This is Paul talking about what's in his heart. Verse 3:7, he says, this is Philippians 3:7. Every advantage that I had gained, I considered loss for Christ's sake. Yes, and I look upon everything as loss compared with the overwhelming gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I did in fact suffer the loss of everything. But I considered it mere garbage compared with being able to win Christ. For now, my place is in Him, and I'm not dependent upon any of the self-achieved righteousness of the law. God has given me that genuine righteousness which comes from faith in Christ. Now I long to know Christ and the power shown by His resurrection. I long to share His sufferings, even to die as He died, so that I may somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I claim to have achieved all this, nor to have reached perfection already, but I keep going on, trying to grasp that purpose for which Christ grasped me. See, when Jesus gets a hold of you, He has a plan. The Lord has a plan for your life. And it's bigger than our plan. It basically has nothing to do with our plan. He has this huge plan for us that's only limited by what we think. Right? So Paul says, Paul prays this prayer. He prays, God, fulfill in me the purpose that you had when you saved me.
Yes.
That's a great prayer. Not, Lord, help me with this situation or that situation. Lord, fulfill in me the destiny, the eternal destiny that you had for me when I first said yes to you.
Amen.
That's a big prayer. It's like thy kingdom come, huh? It's almost like that. Sounds a lot like that little prayer. Okay. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have grasped it fully, even now, but I do concentrate on this. I forget that cowboy movie with Billy Crystal where he meets that...
City Slickers.
Oh, good, thank you. And you remember Curly was the guy's name?
Yes, sir.
So just, you know, you just have one thing, you know? It's kind of a joke. But Paul had one thing in mind, and that was just whatever God had in mind for him, that's what he wanted. He didn't know what it was. But his prayer and his desire and his hunger was for that. Forgetting all that lies behind me, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal, my reward, the honor of my high calling by God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are spiritually adults should think like this, and if at present you think otherwise, you will find that God will make even this clear to you. It is important that we go forward in the light of such truth as we already learned. Okay? Now we're going to, this is just, you know, just to throw you off the track. We're going to go to the book of John now. John 6. And just a couple examples. Abraham. Remember Abraham? He just got a simple word. Move away from your relatives, right?
Yeah.
That's simple. I can do that. Off he goes, right? Was that the end of God's plan for Abraham?
No.
Look at just a simple thing like move away from your relatives. Okay, God, I'll move away from my relatives. Now what? Well, your descendants are going to be the sand of the sea. Right? I mean, it's just he gets you going along the trail, and then as it goes, the sky starts to open. You start to see what he has in store for you. But you have to pray and just enter into a rest where he can perform what he has in mind. Okay, so how about the children of Israel? They were in Egypt. Their life wasn't good. They were slaves. So their focus was on, I don't want to be a slave anymore. What was God's focus on? Okay, I'll give you that one. There you go. We're coming out here. Is that it?
No.
God just gave them an answer to their prayer, and that was the end of it. No. What did he want? See, they wanted something. But the only reason they wanted something was because God wanted something. The only way he could get them to open their hearts to what he wanted was to, hey, you got a problem. You need me. Okay, get us out of Egypt. All right, I'll get you out of Egypt, and I'll raise you. Now we're going to go on a little adventure. Right? Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
A little adventure is called life, you know? And so, let's go to the book of John, chapter 6. It's amazing when you read the book of John, how Jesus just, you know, he was the Son of God, and he knew a lot of stuff. He knew what was going to happen a lot of times, even before it did. Okay. We're going to go to John 6:4. And this is another example of God doing this strange thing. Okay, the Passover, the Jewish festival, was near, so Jesus raised his eyes and, seeing a great crowd on their way toward him, said to Philip, "Where can we buy food for all these people to eat?" We got a problem. All these people are coming, they're hungry. Where are we going to buy food? Do you think he already knew where the food was going to come from? Yeah. Okay, so he says, there you go, well, you know, 20 pounds of worth of bread wouldn't be enough, blah, blah, blah. So they find this guy, little kid with, you know, with some bread and fish, and Jesus blesses it, feeds them all, collects 12 baskets afterward, And we'll skip to verse 15. It says, then Jesus, this is after they were fed, it says, then Jesus, realizing that they were going to carry him off and make him their king by force, retired once more to the hillside, quite alone. Well, that's an amazing little sequence. What happened? I mean, what's wrong with that? He is the king. He came to be the king, right? They want him to be the king. Everything's working good. I don't know what's wrong. He leaves. Anyone? Any suggestions? What's wrong with the picture?
They wanted him to be king for as someone else, not as the Son of God.
Right. What was the something else they wanted? Really simple. What did he just do?
He fed
him. Right? Do you see the tie-in to what I've been talking about?
Yeah.
They were hungry. Here was God, fed them. Okay, God, we got it. When we're around you, we always get fed. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you notice Jesus disappeared. He disappeared. He wasn't that kind of king. And it says that he went to the hillside, and it says he was quite alone. But you know who else was quite alone? The 5,000 people.
Yeah.
You ever felt quite alone?
Yes, sir.
Maybe we're praying the wrong prayer. We got our thoughts in the wrong direction. Now, I'm not saying that as a negative thing at all. I'm saying it as a thing where you can go, wow, maybe there's more to this deal than just bread and fish every day.
Yes.
Maybe there's more to this relationship with God that I started out with than just what I have now. I'm kind of comfortable. I got most of my problems, you know, under control. And that's my definition of doing good.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe there's more to this than that. Maybe there's more than just, you know, not being like you were before. Do you understand? And this is what Paul was saying when he said, I want to become the thing that God wanted me to become when he called me.
Yes.
You see the difference?
Yes.
You see the difference? On the one hand, you're focused on you. Right? Now, we had an interesting theological discussion on the way down here with my wife, who always teaches me all this stuff. And she was talking about free will and God's sovereignty. And I solved the problem. You want to hear the answer to that?
Yes.
You guys are laughing, but when I tell you, you're going to be duly impressed. Okay, to have free will, they usually say free will versus God's sovereignty, right?
Right?
Right? Versus, right? That takes two people. But God brought us in to be what?
One.
Yeah. Where's the free will and God's sovereignty now? Where was free will and God's sovereignty when Jesus walked the earth? What did he do? He was so monotonous. I only do what I see the Father doing.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So then where's your free will and God's sovereignty there? If you're one, I know all you people have met God at some point in your life. You've been a worship service where you're just in the presence of God. Do you think about free will and God's sovereignty at that point in time? No. You see what I'm saying? God pulls us into his presence and opens the door for us to be one with him.
Yeah.
He's pretty serious about it too. I mean, in a good way. All he wants out of this is you. He just wants a relationship with you. What did Adam and Eve, what did Adam have in the Garden of Eden? He walked with God in the cool of the day. That was, hey, that's the pinnacle right there. That's it. They were one. When he sinned, then you had, God, you know,
separation.
You had separation. Then you have conflict. Then you have all these theological questions rush up.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. You do. But when you're one with God, there's no him and me. There's one. What did Jesus pray in John 17? He just prayed over and over and over and over and over and over. That we may be one. You and me, I and you.
Yes.
I mean, you're like, what does that mean? Somebody explain that to me. Well, that's not something you explain. It's something you experience. So here's something else that's very hard to explain. And so Jesus didn't stop right there with this 5,000, because they came back for more bread. They were looking for more bread. So he, we'll keep going in John 6. He says, you know, they come back to him. A bunch of different stuff happens, but it's almost the next day. He says, you are looking for me now, not because you saw my signs, but because you ate that food which and had all that you wanted. Pretty simple. That's why you're following me around. You want me to feed you again. So is he going to let it go there? No. Jesus isn't going to let it go there. So he starts telling him, he starts trying to, so you ever read how Jesus deals with people, he'll ask him a question. You know, the woman at the well, give me some water. She's like, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you can't talk to me. But every time, every part of the exchange, that woman changes. She becomes a different person. Every time Jesus says something back to her, she becomes smarter. She starts to leave who she is, and at the end of the conversation, she runs into town declaring, hey, I just met a man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And that all starts out with the four spiritual laws of give me a drink. So Jesus is talking to these guys and he says, you know, you just came to get the bread. So he says, you should not work for the food which does not last, but for the food which lasts into eternal life. This is the food the Son of Man will give you. And he is the one who bears the stamp of the Father. Notice how he refers to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
This made them ask, what must we do to carry out the work of God? Now listen to this answer. This goes back to the stuff we read at the start. The work of God for you, replied Jesus, is to believe in the one whom he has sent to you. Now, you think that says one thing, but look at it really closely, and it says something completely different than what we think. It doesn't say your work. They asked, what do we do? And Jesus said, God's work is to believe. God's work is to be in you, believing in me. Do you understand? It's not your work to believe. Remember, go back to the first thing I read. By grace are you saved. Through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
Yeah.
So whoever, as Jesus walked around, had their eyes open to see who he was, began to believe. And he says over and over, he goes, you cannot come to me unless the Father, you know, basically opens your eyes. Then all of a sudden your lights come on, you're connected to me, and this eternal This eternal journey begins to happen, and it starts right there. So he says to these people, he's trying to get them to see, there's more standing here than what you see. I am God in the earth. He's not going to say that, but he slowly walks them into that, just like he does with us every day. I mean, we think when we received Jesus, we understood who Jesus Christ was. No, we didn't. We're just starting to understand, and we will for eternity continue to understand more and more of who he is. And as we do that, we'll change. So he says here, I'm going to read this again. The work of God for you, replied Jesus, is to believe in the one whom he has sent. God was in them, potentially believing in Jesus Christ. So then he talks about eating the bread and that he was the bread that came down from heaven. And then we're going to skip to 53. And Jesus gets really specific. He says, so Jesus said to them, unless you do eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, I assure you that you are not really living at all. The man who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up when the last days come. For my body is real food, and my blood is real drink. The man who eats my body and drinks my blood shares my life, and I share his. Just as the living Father sent me, and I am alive because of the Father, so the man who lives on me will live because of me. Fantastic. Now look at the trail that he led them on. First, he starts out, he has this idea. Where are we going to get food for these people? And then he takes them all the way to this point and says, I mean, you talk about intimacy. Jesus is saying, unless I'm your food and I'm your drink, you don't have life in yourself. I'm it. And so a bunch of them walk away, and you know, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, how about you guys? Are you going to leave? Do you remember what the response is? Where do we go? You have the words. You have the words of eternal life. See, why would that be their response? Because even though, I mean, they didn't understand this, what he said either. It was offensive to them. It was offensive to everybody. But what was God doing? He was taking them out of having their problem solved and taking them to a place where they could begin to understand, wow, there's a lot. This is a big deal right here. You know, this is more than a guy that can just heal the sick and raise the dead and heal little kids and walk on water. This is God. And if I hook up with this guy, I'm going to become literally one with God. This is my destiny. This is what I'm, you know. It's pretty, what do you think of that? That's a pretty good deal. How many are in? Okay. All right. So, in closing, just close here. The Lord has a lot more for each of us. We live in a lot of anxiety. You notice that? There's a lot of anxiety that we live in. We worry about different things. You know, things come up in our life, like we solve those things and move on to something else. But, you know, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. He's the king of peace. But see, it comes by just, Lord, you're the Lord. You know, I'm in this thing. I'm not going to struggle. I'm going to let you become in me. what you had in mind when I first opened my heart to you. Amen?